You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 13 through 40. And the title of this message is Family Names Part 1. And Father, we do thank you that you love us enough to bring us here midweek, Lord, to get your word. Oh, Lord, get this word in us. Lord, get it in our hearts so we won't sin against you. Oh, God, help us. Keep drawing us back to you. Keep loving us. Keep washing us with the blood of Jesus. Lord, keep forgiving us. Keep having mercy upon us. Lord, we're here because we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Chronicles 7, looking at verses 13 through 40. And once again, the title of this message is Family Names Part 1. Now, there are certain people in all of our families that when we think of them, their names and the tomfoolery that they're involved in comes up immediately. Now, this is what we have been seeing in these early chapters of 1 Chronicles. The first 9 chapters are dealing with names, so I have to get cute on how to title these to keep with the subject of all these names and descendants and genealogies and all this sort of stuff. Now, we saw in verses 1 through 5 of this chapter the tribe of Benjamin. We saw two of the most famous Benjamites who were King Saul, Israel's first king, and later Saul of Tarsus, we talked about, who later became the Apostle Paul. Now, someone we left out is in verse 10 of this chapter, and his name was Ehud. Now, God used him in a powerful way in Judges 3 in verses 12 through 30. I skipped over him, and then when I was ready to study for the next set of verses, the Lord really wanted me to go back to this guy, Ehud, and you're going to see why. But he's talked about in Judges 3 in verses 12 through 30. He assassinated the king of Moab. His name was King Eglon. By doing this, he freed the Israelites from 18 years of being their servants. And Ehud was sent on this mission by personally delivering the annual tribute to the king. The way he got away with his plan was because he was left-handed. So all you left-handers, God bless you. Ehud is with you. As they would check everyone, they had a security check, and as they would check everyone going to see the king, most people at that time, they were right-handed. This meant that they wore their sword or their dagger on their left thigh. Because Ehud was left-handed, he had his dagger on his right thigh and got to go see the king. He convinced him that he had a private message from God for him, so they went into a private chamber. Ehud pulled out his dagger and stabbed the king in the stomach, and because he was a fat guy, the dagger went in all the way to the handle, and his fat covered up the entire dagger. He needed that shot back then, you know. They didn't have it then. I'm sorry. But he definitely needed. He needed bypass or something. He was just a chubster. He's a fat guy. Now, according to Judges 3, verse 16, this dagger was double-edged. It was a double-edged sword type of dagger, and it was about a cubit long, which a cubit long is around 18 inches. It is the distance between your elbow and the tip of your middle finger. So around 18 inches. After this, he escaped by locking the door from the inside and jumped out of the upper room. after waiting for so long for the king to come out, they got embarrassed. And so they unlocked the door and saw that the king was dead. And Ehud was used to bring about a great victory for the Israelites. Now, I believe that all of us can have a King Eglon in our lives that we have been feeding and feeding in the private chambers of our homes. At this point, this King Eglon in our lives is fat and out of control. So how do we deal with it? Well, the same way Ehud did. We must take the dagger of the two-edged sword of the Word of God and kill it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any what? Two-edged sword, piercing even asunder of the division of the soul and the spirit, and the joint and the marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, how do we do this practically? We do what David taught us to do in Psalm 119 in verse 11, which says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart." Why, David? "So I will not sin against you." So no matter how big and fat King Eglon is in your life, the double edge or the two-edged sword of the Word of God can penetrate and kill it. For example, Job said in Job 31, verse 1, "I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look?" And that word, the Hebrew word for look, means to gaze upon a young woman. David said in Psalm 101, verse 3, "I will set nothing wicked, worthless before my eyes." David said again in Psalm 119, verse 37, "Turn," and that word "turn" means, "or cause my eyes to pass away from looking at worthless things." And this is the type of two-edged daggers that can kill the fat Eglon, King Eglon in our lives. Cut right through that fat king we have been feeding and paying tribute to for a long time that is residing in the private chambers of our lives. So no matter what form King Eglon is in, look up the scripture dealing with the subject and read them over and over and over again, memorize them, and the Holy Spirit will bring them to our attention when King Eglon wants to be fed with his fat self. Memorize that word. I know y'all so politically correct today. You hear me saying fat and y'all feeling a certain way. He was fat. He was a fat guy. That's what he was. The Bible says that. So y'all just so politically correct that y'all hear that and y'all like, he was fat. A chumpster. And he stuck that thing. And anytime you're so fat that you stick a knife in you and the fat covers up the handle, dude, you're out of control. And so is the King Eglon in our lives, out of control. We've been feeding it and feeding it and feeding it for so long, but that two-edged dagger of the Word of God will cut right through his fat self. Cut right through it. I'm telling you. So whatever your subject is, if it's pride, if it's lust, if it's ego, if it's no matter what it is, look up the scriptures dealing with that subject. Read them over and over again. And the Bible said that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I've said unto you. So you read them over and over again, and the Holy Spirit will quicken your mind to those verses. And have you turn away. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He gives us self-control. He gives us the ability to say, I'm not going to look at that this time. I'm not going to look at that demonic movie with people crawling up the walls and people's heads spinning around and we find entertainment with that. I'm not going to look at, well, you know, it just got a couple of nude scenes in it, but, you know, it's a good movie, you know. You know, it's funny. The other day I was, you know, I love, you know, martial arts kind of movies, you know. And so I said, okay, I'm going to watch one. And I said, okay, I, you know, the button that that little curvy button to have you go back, you know, go back to the main menu. I said, if he goes in this club and if there's some little girls up there dancing and they don't have anything going, you're out of there. You're out. And I had my finger on it just like this. Boop. Done. It was a good movie up to that point. I really wanted to see the rest of done. You're out of there. Eglon, you ain't getting fed today. Got to go. So you memorize those verses or read them over and over again, and the Spirit of God will bring to your attention those particular verses. Now, in verse 13, we see the family of the tribe of Naphtali or Naphtali. Really, we only see verse 13 mention the family tree of this tribe. That's a little weird. But you may come from a small family or a family not known like your other family members, but God knows you. He knows you by name, like we see here. He knows you. You come from maybe a little hick town. I've talked to many people. Yeah, we had one stoplight in our town. I said, excuse me? There was one stoplight working in our town. I mean, you had one stoplight, one stop sign? That's nuts. I can't imagine anything like that. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody's business. I can't imagine that. Can't imagine that. My high school graduated 460-something folks. And then as freshmen, coming in freshmen, we had almost 1,000. So I'm just like, you know, when I hear these little hick towns that folks come from, like, we had more folks lost in our freshman class, you know, lost in the hallways than y'all did in y'all whole town. So, but no matter what, where you came from, no matter what your family background is, God knows you and God sees you and God cares about you. Now, in verses 14 through 19, we have the family tree of Manasseh. Now, who stands out in this family is the family of a man named Zelophehad. He was the first girl dad. So for you girl dads out there, he was the first. Verse 15 said that he had only daughters. This family is mentioned several times in Scripture. There's a reason why it's mentioned this many times. In Numbers 26, verse 33, Numbers 27, verses 1 through 11, and Numbers 36, verses 1 through 12. They were the first ones to fight for women's rights. And folks, you know,
oh, the Bible is chauvinistic.
Just folks just let the modern mind just poison them. No, these folks, they were the first ones fighting for women's rights back then. They went to Moses and said, our father didn't have any sons but us girls. Why should our father's name die out? And Moses brought their case to the Lord, and God said, they're right. Listen to them. They were told to marry within their tribe and keep their father's name alive that way. I want you to notice what Moses did when he didn't know what to do. He went to the Lord in prayer. And God told him what to do. Where do you go when you don't know what to do? ChatGPT, that's where folks are going today. Google. Have you thought about going to God in prayer like Moses did? Proverbs 3:6, it gives us the guideline, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall do what? He shall direct your path. That Hebrew word means to make smooth or make straight your path. And this is what Moses did. Now, in verses 20 to 29, we're introduced to the family of Ephraim. Now, this is amazing here. Yes, they were known for their wealth. Listen, their wealth, their power, and expertise. They still had some shady characters in the family. The family of Zabad in verse 21 had sons who were killed by the men of Gath. You know, the men of Gath were Philistines. Why? Because they came down to take away their cattle. They were killed for carjacking. Grand Theft Auto. See, every family has these type of family members. Yes, they came from wealth, from power, and from prestige, but they decided to steal cattle and paid the ultimate price for it. Every family has these folks. Your family is not unique. Every family has shady folks, carjacking, you know. And the Philistines killed them. They came down, tried to steal their cattle, and the Philistines killed them. Now, in verse 22, it says, this is what's so amazing. In verse 22, it says that Ephraim, their father, mourned many days, and his brethren came to comfort him. Parents, as you know, sometimes our children will do things that will have your chest sticking out, proud to be their parent. And sometimes they will do things that will shatter your heart in a million pieces. Ephraim went through this when the Philistines killed his sons. He mourned many days. Sometimes we mourn more over our kids when they are adults than when they are children. You think, okay, all right, okay, raise them, got them out, grown, they're grown, get them out of the house, all right, the worries are over. No, the worries have just started. Good grief. Just started. See, when they're in your house, you can control them to a degree. You know, yes, they go to school and get involved in tomfoolery and silliness and all kind of crazy. But when they come home, you can get all that straightened out. But when they're grown and gone, and you wonder, oh, what tomfoolery are they involved with now? Oh, they driving to this state? Oh, Lord. Oh, you call me as soon as you get there. Every 10 miles, you call me. See, we worrying, we freaking out, and then they go off to college, and we're like, oh, are they at some party? Are they getting drunk? Is somebody taking advantage of it? And we just worry, and we, you know, call. See, nowadays, they're, you know, you can put trackers on kids' phones, and, you know, they're smart enough to get it off, but you can put trackers, and you got cell phones. Now, back in our time, we didn't have that. You want to call somebody, you got to get the rotary phone. Vroom, 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 or do, 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 do. If you're under 30, just ask your neighbor. And we had to do that. But today, they have these cell phones. But they do things, and you're like, you know, my little mama used to say this all the time. That was just dumb. Why would you do that? That's just dumb. Some of the things I looked at my kids went through, and you know, we hear the stories now, and they cracking, they on the ground cracking up at them. And we're looking at them with our heads turned. You did what? That was just dumb, you know. But now as adults, we gotta be on our knees even more in prayer for them, because they are just, they are little us, is who they are. And sometimes we don't like how our sin looks when our kids are wearing it. And we're looking like, I look at, you know, I was a little mean little boy growing up. And it took salvation. And then sometimes, you know, still sometimes it kind of comes up, you know. And you know, y'all heard me say it before, I didn't like little kids, and not too fond of them today, but that's y'all didn't hear me say that, that slipped out. But I didn't like little kids because my mother had a daycare, and so I struggled. I'm trying to go home, come home from school, and got crying babies and kids and running around, tearing on. And I'm just like, yikes. So, and so salvation came to my house, and the Lord began to change me. And then I see my kids, and I see that little mean streak in one of them. And I said, boy, that looks just like me. And now he has kids. And those are mean little boogers. And I just looked and I just said, wow, I'm the grandpa of mean men, mean kids. Because they came from me. And they just getting one on down. I pray for those little boogers. I pray for them. But this man mourned. He mourned that his kids, you know, got killed hijacking, carjacking cattle. And the Philistines said, no, you ain't getting away with this. And killed him. The man mourned. But I want you to watch something. Don't miss this. I want you to notice who he went to for comfort. Keep in mind, he's mourning over his children, his sons being killed. He found comfort in his wife in verse 23. It says, and when he went into his wife, she conceived and bore a son. Men noticed that he went to his wife for comfort, not another woman. Notice that. He went to his wife. You know, there's a pattern to this. We see Isaac did a similar thing in Genesis 24, verse 67, when his mother Sarah died. This verse says, watch this. Then Isaac brought her, his new wife, into his mother's Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Watch this. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Who did he go to for when there was a death? He went to his wife, and he went into her and was comforted for his mother's death. Ladies, wives, listen to me. For the most part, men are comforted by the closeness and intimacy of his wife. And ladies, don't be terrible human beings by pushing him away, saying your hands are hot. As a matter of fact, your whole body is hot. I'm too tired. Leave me alone. I'm too tired. And you stay up and scroll on social media another 2 hours. But you're too tired. Also, ladies, can I just talk to you for a minute? Don't constantly go around the house looking like he just picked you up from some back alley. Mud, face mask on your face, shower cap or a stinking bonnet. You roll over to him in this condition, he yells, yikes! With that old bathrobe on, or worse yet, a muumuu. Now, okay, yes, it is comfortable. I know it's comfortable. I get it. I know it is. And yes, it has its place at times. But does he have to see the muumuu and the bonnet all the time? Men are stimulated by what they see. What they see. Yes, muumuus are good. My mama used to wear them. I remember them. The green one, and then she had another one, you know. I know they're comfortable, airy, and just, you know, I get it. Just remember what a man is looking for from you. Especially if he is mourning the death of a family member, like we saw with Isaac and with Ephraim. Now, you know, men my age and older, we got the hint long time ago, and we just don't bother you. We ain't bothering you. We got the hint long time. We got the nose so much, and we don't care anymore. We just roll over on no more cold showers. We ain't doing that. We the old now. We just roll over. But muumuus, bonnets, all the time. Well, I'm just trying to be comfortable. Okay, it has its place. But all the time, every time. I never forget this one celebrity years ago had a beautiful wife. Both of them were celebrities, had a beautiful wife. And then all of a sudden they busted up after some years. And one of the complaints that he had, he said, y'all get this beautiful woman on TV all the time. He said, but when she gets home, she don't look like that. Don't look like that at all. And he said, if I want to see her look good, I got to watch on TV. And he got tired of that. So, ladies, I'm just saying, I know it's comfortable. I know the bonnet you're trying to, you know, or the scarf you're trying to pin up and pin and scarf it all, keep it flat. I get it. It has its place. But all the time, just keep in mind, if you got a younger man, stimulated by what he sees, So keep that in mind. Now you know, later on, there's going to be something I'm going to get on the men about. There'll be something. Oh, y'all get out of y'all's feelings. This is your time. Just take it. Take that pill, swallow it. Just what it is. It'd be something in these names, you know. Man, we just talk about having kids that hijacking cars and stuff. So we, and the man was mourning. Man was sad, you know. So I'm just saying. And the ones who said something, they're your moo-moo wears, your bonnets, and all that other stuff. God bless you. God bless you, man. God bless you. So in verses 30 through 40, we see the family of Asher. They had very prominent family members. In verse 40, it says that all those were the children of Asher, heads of their fathers' houses, choice men, mighty men of valor, chief leaders. And they were recorded by genealogies among the army fit for battle. Their number was around 26,000. Now, the family of Asher were leaders, choice men, meaning that people chose these men for leadership positions. They were also military soldiers. It said that they were mighty men of valor, chief leaders, or they were officers, meaning that they were leaders of leaders, fit for battle. Oh, I love these type of people. Love every bit. People always ask, especially when I was away, they were asking, you know, well, what's Newport News like? And I just tell them, hey, it's military area. So everybody's connected to the military or the shipyard. Take your pick. Everybody. You either active duty, you either a veteran, you either retire, you either doing out of uniform, what you did in uniform, you're part of the DOD, something. You're at the shipyard somewhere. I said, everybody. Yeah, of course, you got some miscellaneous jobs in there. I said, they said, well, is that how the church is? I said, yeah. I said, I love every bit of it. All the military people, I love it. I love saluting the officers. I love every bit of it. This is my world right here. I go to the other churches, you know, hey, all right, y'all nice. All right. Let me get on back. Let me get on back to my military post. And that's what I love. I love meeting the visitors, and they're from, you know, I'm at Fort Eustis, I'm at Langley, I'm here, I'm in the Coast Guard, I'm there, and I love every bit of it. Military area. That's how I'm wired. That's how I am. And that's what our church is all about. That's what this tribe, the tribe of Asher, they were all about it. People not afraid to go to war, fit for battle, leaders of leaders. If this describes you, thank you. I appreciate you. There's many of you go to battle with any time. Go to battle and go to battle and battle and battle. Oh, I love it. The folks who are here who are active duty officers or retired or whatever. I love, they're leaders of leaders. Leaders of men. Retired, did this and that. I love hearing their stories. Love every bit. Because see, they will bring that same smoke to the kingdom of God. And when it comes to church work and now fighting in the battles of the Lord, I know they're going to bring that same energy. They're going to bring that same fervor. Nothing chaps my hide more than just wishy-washy kind of people. I just, no, I can't do it. And I just move aside. Give me some men, some leaders of leaders, some women that just know how to lock in and just, those are the ones. And there are many of you here. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for serving. Thank you for battling those cheering back there in the back, and the teenagers and the middle schoolers and all this stuff, and out in the parking lot dealing with folks out there. Why can't I park that? No, you park over. Why can't I? I'm parking there anyway. And y'all got to deal with them. But because you're a leader of leaders, you know how to handle them. You're not going to get shook up and be like, oh, I'm quitting the parking lot because somebody didn't park where I wanted them to. No, these guys are locked in. These folks are locked in. I thank you for it, who you are, for just staying the course. Amen. Let me conclude with this, because we have, it is the first. We got communion. Now, in this message, Family Names, we saw how each of these families had family members who were good as well as bad. We saw how Ephraim had sons killed for trying to steal the Philistines' cattle, and he found comfort in his wife. Men, not in the arms of another woman. And ladies, let him want to find comfort in you. And finally, we saw the family of Asher, who had leaders in their family, military leaders, trained, fit for battle. You want to be this type of person at church and for the kingdom of God. Nothing is worse than wishy-washy, sometimey folks. Nothing is worse than that. And so we have some folks here that is about that life. It's just like the Apostle Paul. When he was Saul of Tarsus, that dude, let me tell you something. He was persecuting Christians, arresting Christians, killing Christians. He was about that life, and then when God saved him, he soundly saved him, and he gave that same smoke for the kingdom of God. He served God. He, matter of fact, it broke up a good friendship. They took John Mark on a missionary trip with him. John Mark said, oh, no, this is too tough. I want to go back home. He said, all right. So on the next missionary, the second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. No wonder it was his nephew, but. And Paul said, oh, no, we're not going to take him. Don't you remember in Pamphylia he left us? He said, but no, come on. You know, Paul, I worked with him. I encouraged him. Barnabas means son of encouragement. I encouraged him. He's good now. Paul said, not going with me. He may freak out again. Mm-mm. And the contention became so sharp that Barnabas took John Mark. Paul took Silas and ended up being two missionary trips end up going, but Paul did not play. He confronted Peter to his face. Peter was playing the hypocrite, you know, when the Gentile, when they were eating with the Gentiles, he was right there enjoying him a burger with some bacon on it. And then when folks came from James's group from Jerusalem, he started separating from the Gentiles. And Paul said, whoa, what is this you doing, Pete? Come here. It said he confronted him to his face. Paul was about that life. So this is why folks that are from the tribe of Asher, military trained, just about that life, focused. Now, I'm not saying that folks who didn't go to the military can't be like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just going with the tribe of Asher. Tribe of Asher, these were some folks here. And some of you are from the tribe of Asher, and I thank you. I thank you. I go to war with you any day because we're in a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Old slew foot. And we need some soldiers that's going to be about that life to be able to go to battle. And many of you here are that type of person. And I just thank you, and thank you for what you do. to make matters makes matters just great for me to teach the word of God unhindered, because the kid's not in here, the teenager's not flipping on their phone, gotta go to the bathroom. They can do all that in their space. So we can talk grown folk business, and I thank you for what you do for this church. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time you've given us. Lord, we pray that, God, that you would just make us into the soldiers you want us to be. Oh, dear God, we need the power of your spirit to do what we can't do on our own. Thank you, Lord, for these your people and all that they do for this church here in this ministry. Thank you for bringing them here. Thank you for keeping them here. Thank you for using them here. And so, Lord, I just pray, have your hand upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Tony Clark. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Tony's teaching ministry by visiting calvarynn.org.